as I looking at Victory, and maybe just for a little bit of a special assignment, I'm not a teacher, obviously, but I want to, I have been thinking recently that when you share a message, I want the younger people to understand clearly what I am wanting to say. And so if you're anywhere in the age of 9 years old to 12 years old, I welcome you to write down what you think I said, and if you feel comfortable, give it to me. I want to know what you heard me say from your age level. And don't be embarrassed. Just say it like it is. I won't be upset at you or anything. I know it's a you're not being graded. I'm being graded. Your chance to grade me. So I really do honestly want to know that that age level is understanding what's being said when I speak. So anyhow, feel open to do that. But as we think of Victory, the reason that I want to speak about Victory is I recognize in speaking to people, many people, that Victory is something that we all want to get, we grasp for, but we just all have this feeling of failure. And we come to a place where sometimes where we feel feel overcome with failure. And so that's why I want to share about Victory, having Victory. So I'll just say right at the front that as I studied this and as I was writing my notes down, that I got a lot of notes. And so this morning I decided that I just need to break it down into two different sessions. And so I'm hoping that, praying that my last part will be, have the zeal that I feel for this part. But I just didn't think there was going to be enough time to go over everything that was coming to my mind. And, you know, we become so overwhelmed with our failures that we become confused with the true meaning of having victory. And to maybe explain that, in the real battlefield, maybe going back to the Civil War, you know, they had opposing sides come together fighting and having terrible battles. And then at the end of the day or toward sometime, one side would retreat and go back, and they'd maybe go over the hill. The battle, the other side was down there, and the side that seemed to push the other side back was up here looking down at them. But they really couldn't judge who won. Maybe they won that day, but the judgment call or the deciding factor of who got the victory sometimes was discussed years later even. Who actually was the winner of that specific battle? And I think that's the way it is in our life sometimes. You know, because the opposing enemy, it was still down there. Tomorrow they're going to come up and maybe they could win tomorrow. So overall, are we having victory? And I think that's the question that we face many times in our Christian lives. Are we having the victory? Do we have victory? And we wonder if we're having victory. We become confused because we feel like we're having so much failure. Sometimes we feel that way. So having said all this, I'm not wanting to justify anyone that isn't having victory. I know that I believe there is that Christians can have victory. I believe it with all my heart that Christians can have victory. And I will admit, too, that I have doubted it sometimes. Well, you know, what constitutes real victory? And maybe that's okay. But I just want, as I studied this, it became clear to me that there is real victory in a Christian life. And each of us can have it. And I just want all of us to get that from this message. And we should expect victory in our Christian lives. And the question that you could ask yourselves or that you might maybe think over in your own mind is, why is it so hard to have victory? Is it because you're so weak and the devil is so strong? it is true that compared to the power we have and the power that the devil has in his demons, that we are no match. I agree with that. But if we look at truth, we see that in and through Jesus, we are stronger than the devil. So then why do we struggle? And as I share this morning, think about that in your own life. Why do you struggle having victory? Just think about that. Maybe you can have an answer that will give you a springboard to have victory in your life. To me, it is sad to see people give up because they feel like it's impossible to have victory. And I read in the World magazine about this man who was the chief of staff for the senator of Tennessee. You maybe read it too or heard about it. He committed suicide recently. And the reason he committed suicide is because he was arrested and charged with a very degrading crime. He was involved with child pornography. And he wrote a suicide note. And in his suicide note, he said, "There is no escape." And he had told his attorney that he doesn't think he can ever overcome. He doesn't think he can. It's too much. And, you know, the devil at first deceived this man into thinking that he could live a double life and get by. That was the first lie that the devil deceived him into thinking. And then when that proved wrong, he got caught. The shame and darkness that came over him was so unbearable that he believed another lie of the devil. And the devil kept telling him that you're forever doomed. There's no victory for you. And you cannot escape. You know, just end it all. And he believed it. And to me, that is so sad to hear that he believed those lies. And I don't think he's the only one. I think there's many testimonies or results of people that gave up because they couldn't get the victory. They didn't feel they had the victory. They just gave up. This man believed the devil. But Jesus would have given him the victory. Jesus would have given it to him. And Jesus will give us the victory. There is victory in Jesus. And we sang the song, and I just appreciate that. There is victory in Jesus. And I just want us to really recognize how much there is. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's wonder-working power, as the song says. So I want to clearly say it, that we can have victory. I believe that we can have victory in Jesus, but I also know that it is not enough to just say that. I mean, that sounds good, doesn't it? And we read it, and it feels good to read it. Because in the real world, we've all had our share of spiritual failure, and we deal with it every day. It's very common for Christians to feel like there is a disconnect between the words that are in the Bible about having victory in Jesus and actually happening in our own lives. There just seems to be a barrier there to get between the two. How do we get to make that work? So I really hope that by God's help that I can put wheels on these words so that each of us can be renewed in our minds to understand that we can have victory and also give us tools to give us the victory. The David Wilkerson wrote, and I'm going to quote what he wrote. I'm just going to read what he wrote. He had many people writing into him, asking him why they had so much problem getting victory, and why is the battle, you know, they shouldn't have to struggle this far. They just struggle and struggle, and they just thought it was wrong to struggle. And he replied back. He said this, he wrote this article. He said, "Christians, does it amaze you that great men of old faced the same battles you and I face today?" And then he quoted the verse in 1 Peter 4, 12, and 13, says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, ye may rejoice with exultation." And so, you know, that verse is just saying that you shouldn't be surprised if there's a struggle. Then he went on to say, "How can we learn to hold on and live one day at a time? You can begin by forgetting all shortcuts and magic cures. The Christian doesn't need a supposed demon of despair cast out, as if his going would make life easier." In other words, the Christian doesn't have to have this demon of despair cast out of him to make his life easier. nor will God come down and do our living for us. The tempter will not be destroyed until that day God cast him into the prison. Satan will always be here, deceiving, accusing, and trying to rob every believer of his faith. And I agree with that. I agree with that very much. I think many times we forget that we are in a struggle and feel if we are in the battle, that if we are in a struggle, that if we are struggling, that we're being mistreated. Something's wrong. And I don't think that's right to feel that way or think that way. There is also another problem that we face today that we didn't have 20 years ago, or plus or minus, and that is technology and what it has done. That we faced, you know, we didn't face that 20 years ago. And it has put sin on our face, and it has made sin so available to us, so easy. Nakedness used to be harder to find and compared to what it is today. And also what is written and shared as a media is more blatant. It's just right in our face. It didn't used to be quite so strong. And people are displaying wickedness more just right there. It's so much to us. I took my family to shopping mall this last Friday, and you know, it really is sickening to know how the media proclaims so much wickedness, so much sin, just right there. It's there for you to. It's so strong. And when I remember when I was growing up, it wasn't. I'm not that old, and it was not presented as strong as it is today. And it is true that it gets in our minds in the most innocent, in blatant ways compared to what it used to be. But what I want to make with that. That is no excuse for us. It's not a reason for us to not have victory. And I think that sometimes we get caught up in that thinking maybe it's too hard. You know, what we got to face is just so hard. We can't, how can our youth overcome it? And I think that's the wrong message, because it's not scriptural to look at it that way. It's another method for Satan to deceive us and try to get us to give up. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, "And he said unto me," this is after Paul was wishing that these things could go away, "and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And I just also thought of, I had been reading recently in about the children of Israel, and I read the story of Balaam and Balak, how the Midianites deceived the children of Israel. They sent their beautiful women to become friends with the men of Israel, and there were families being broke up, and people lost out serving the Lord. There was many, many people that lost out because the devil couldn't find a way to get into the camp of Israel through Balaam and Balak's way, and so God wouldn't allow it. So the Midianites came, he found another way. They snuck in with all their beautiful women into the camp, and they made havoc of the children of Israel. It was a terrible story, and you can read it too to remind yourself. But Satan did it then, and today he uses those same methods. So we don't have an excuse to fail. We can have victory regardless what is in this world or what differences we see that affect us. I know that it's harder. I agree with that. I don't want to say that there's no challenge there. I believe there is. And I don't think that we should just leave the door open for all technology and whatever comes our way. I'm just saying that scripturally, that is not an excuse. We can still have the victory. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And then in also John 16, verse 33, Jesus said this. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus gave us, he knew everything that we're going to face today. And he said, we can do it. I'll give you the power to do it. I'll be with you. I'll help you. And I believe that he can do that and that he will do that. And I want to read from Ephesians 6, if you want to welcome you to turn with me to Ephesians 6. And I'm only going to read a couple verses out of there, but the reason that I couldn't get it all in this message, I start going through these verses that I'm going to read, and I there was just too much to go over. Ephesians 6, verse 10, I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read through verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I'm going to stop there. And I'm just going to go through these verses one at a time a little bit. In verse 10, I think Paul is wrapping up what he's writing this letter to the Ephesians on. And he had told them about being strong and all these many good things he had encouraged them with. And then he comes to verse 10 and he says, finally, my brethren, okay, so this is, I'm bringing this down to a close now. And he says, now that I've shared this all with you about what you can have through Jesus, I encourage you again to be strong in the Lord by trusting him to deliver you, to bring you through the battle. And the way that you can be strong in the Lord is by placing yourself in the battlefield in a strategic way so that you have the best advantage possible. In other words, he's saying you need to position yourself in the battlefield at the proper place. And a practical way for a Christian to have the best advantage is to be in Christ. Have Jesus in your heart and mind. Keep Jesus close to yourself by making him number one in your life. Really have Jesus on your mind. Study and learn about him more. Dedicate yourself to him 100% of the way. Don't go 50% or 95%. Go 100% of the way. And call on Jesus early. I'm guilty of calling Jesus only when I think I need him. That is not enough to be strong. He said, be strong in the Lord. If you want to be strong in the Lord, we must saturate our whole being with the things of Jesus. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we want to position yourself in Jesus so that you are in the center of his power. We have a racing game at home that we play. It is a video game. And I want you to know that I'm not demeaning Brother Josh's message 2 weeks ago or saying it's okay to be consumed with video games and for sure not wicked games. This is only a way to better describe to you of what it would be like or could be like to be in the power of his might. So this game that we have, that we where you race cars, and after you race, after you're racing a certain time, this one car, you somehow it gains extra power. And this car is invincible. It goes and it can just go right through the track over other cars. It's got power. It could go anywhere. And I think when we are in the power of his might, that we are in the center of God's power. And compared to the powers in the world around us, whatever, we are in the power of God's might. God can put us and take us anywhere. He can give us the victory. He can help us through anything that we're facing when we have that power. When we are in the power of his might, when we are consumed with having Jesus in our life, it's the position that we want to have while we're in the battle. And remember, we are always in the battle. The battle is always going to be going on. It's never going to end. Verse 11, it says, put all the protective covering that God gives you on. Wear it. Don't just leave it on. God's given it to us. Don't just have it on the side in our closet or wear it. We need to put it on. And we put it on so we can have the knowledge of the deceitful ways of the devil. He's got many deceitful ways. If you don't have the protective covering on, the devil will deceive you by trickery. If you want to stand, you need to know the ways in which the devil will try to deceive you. The only way you are going to be able to understand how he can trick you is to be aware and alert, putting that protective clothing on. In verse 12, it says, this battle that we fight, it's not a physical battle. There's no bloodshed. This is an invisible battle. And it's hard for us to imagine, but that's what sometimes deceives us too, is because it's not a tangible battle. It's nothing we can just see. We sometimes become thinking lightly of it, that it's not that big of a battle. And we don't really take it for what it is. But this is a real battle. Even though we cannot see it, it's a real battle. And it's relevant. Our opponent is not only real, but he is very deceptive and powerful. And his power is higher than human power. Humans are no match for the devil or his demons. It is through Jesus that we have strength to overcome the devil's power. In verse 13, because we know that we are no match for the devil and his demons, we wear all the protective covering that God gives us so that we can stand in the evil day. So in verse 13, he says it again. Put all the armor on. Don't leave any aside. Put it all on. Take all the armor. And I'm calling the armor the protective covering that God gives us so that we can stand. We have days when we have some days when the trials and temptations that we are faced with are extra strong. Even though we go through days where we think, well, I might, it doesn't seem that strong. Everything's going along maybe. But then another day may come along and we just get hit hard. We are tempted, we are tested, we are going through trials. It comes on strong, and that's what we need to be able to withstand. Be prepared for those days. Put all the armor on to ensure that we are better prepared to stand when the devil throws every temptation at us possible. And there comes days that he does that. He'll heave everything at you that we just don't even know how we can get through. But Paul is encouraging, be strong in the Lord, wear all your armor, do everything possible to be able to know how the devil is trying to deceive you. Do everything possible to have Jesus give us the power. When you have done all the right things and you have made all the correct decisions, now, he's saying, just stay in the battle. Don't turn your back and run, but keep on throwing scriptures at them, at your opponent. Keep quoting scriptures. Keep throwing them at them. Your opponent may not be visible, but he is real, and he's throwing, and we can throw scriptures at him, and it's the very best weapon you have. So stand and keep throwing scriptures at him. Throw Bible verses at him. So much of our fighting spiritual battles are running away and trying to get away from the battle. You know, it's not wrong to stay away from places or things that will tempt you. That is right. I agree with that. You should do that. We need to remember that we will be tempted even after we've done all the right things. We're in a battle. We're in a struggle. We can put all the things in place to protect us and keep us from harm, so we don't see bad pictures, so we don't hear bad music, so we don't get involved where things that we know we could fail. We do all those things. We need to do those things. But that does not stop the battle. The battle is still there. It's still real. It still goes on. And that is the time that we need to position ourselves to stand. That's what Paul told them. Now that you've done all that, stand. Don't be tearing off, running away, trying to get away from it, or thinking that I shouldn't have this struggle, the struggle is real. It's because we're here on earth and because we're not in heaven. When we get there, it'll all be over. And I think many Christians miss this. And many it's easy for the devil to deceive us, thinking that there's something wrong when we're struggling so hard. We think that something must be going on. Something's not right. I'm not doing something right. We just have to remember that that's the way it is. We're here on earth. The battle is with us. The battle won't leave us till we get to heaven. And we need to be willing to accept that it is a battle and be willing to stand. Elizabeth Elliot, she wrote a book, and in it she talked to people that she wrote to. She wrote it to her grandson, Peter, and she said in the book she had a title on endurance. And in there she said, and I agreed with it when I read it, that, you know, don't think that withstanding temptation is easy. You have to endure. You don't think that you can just think that if you've got to get away from the struggle. And she quoted the verse 2 in 1 Timothy 2:3 that said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So I think that's true. I think that's what we have to do. We have to remember that we have to be a good heart soldier, endure hardness, and be strong. That's what Paul said in the very first place. And don't run away. Just stand there and keep quoting the verses and doing what we need to do to stand. Paul also says, "Count it all joy when you find yourself in the battle, because that is a true sign that you are a Christian. Because you are in the battle, that should give you joy that the devil believes that you are a threat to the worldly kingdom." And I think sometimes the struggle is harder because he really believes it about you. He believes that you are, you're witnessing to somebody, you're doing something to somebody out there that's hurting the worldly kingdom. And you know that when the devil sees you as being defeated, he leaves you alone. What's the use of fighting with someone who's already defeated? So if you're feeling the battle, you need to thank God for it. That's what Paul said. Thank God for it. For the sure sign that you're in the battle. That's a good thing. And so many times we think it's a terrible thing, but actually it's a good thing. That's a sign that we're there. We're something's going on good in our life. If you feel that if you feel that you're in a battle, and that Satan obviously understands that you care about serving the Lord. And to me, when I think about that, that gives me joy, just like Paul said. If you don't feel any battle anymore, I think maybe that you should be concerned. That's a good time to be concerned about your life. If you don't feel a battle for a long time, there might be days you might not feel a battle too strong. But if you go a long time that way, I would be concerned about my Christian life. And I'm going to wrap this up now and go on to the next verses next time I preach. But I want to just say that how do I know? The one question that I would like to answer next time is I would like to go through the 6 pieces of armor that Paul has listed here. And also I would like to answer a question the best that I can for myself, but to encourage us too, is how do I know if I'm living victorious? How can I know that I am actually living victoriously? So I'll wait to do that till next time. But I want us all to believe without a doubt that we can have victory. Christians have the power through Jesus to have victory. We can have the victory. There is no doubt about it. And I've shared this poem before, but I think it's such a wonderful poem. It brings out the story. It brings out how we can have victory so much. I'm going to read this yet. The name of it is called The Race, and I'm sure you'll all remember it, but it'll encourage you anyhow. "Quit, give up, you're beaten," they shout and plead. There's just too much against you now. This time you can't succeed. And as I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. And hope refills my weakened will as I recall that scene. For just the thought of that short race rejuvenates my being. A children's race, young boys, young men, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear. It wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope, each thought to win that race, or tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. Their fathers watched from off the side, each cheering for his son, and each boy hoped to show his dad that he would be the one. The whistle blew and off they went, young hearts and hopes afire. To win, to be the hero there, was each young boy's desire. One boy in particular, his dad was in the crowd, was running near the lead and thought, my dad will be proud. But as he speeded down the field across a shallow dip, the little boy who thought to win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his hands flew out to brace. And amid the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. So down he fell, and with him hope. He couldn't win it now. Embarrassed, sad, he only wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, get up and win the race. He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, that's all, and ran with all his mind and might to make up for his fall. So anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win, his mind went faster than his legs. He slipped and fell again. He wished that he had quit before with one disgrace. I'm hopeless as a runner now. I shouldn't try to race. But in the laughing crowd, he searched and found his father's face. That steady look that said again, get up and win the race. So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. If I'm going to gain those yards, he thought, I've got to run real fast. Exceeding everything he had, he regained 8 or 10. But trying so hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeat, he lay there silently, a tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. 3 strikes, I'm out. Why try? The will to rise had disappeared. All hope had fled away. So far behind, so error-prone, closer all the way. I've lost, so what's the use, he thought. I'll live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. Get up, an echo sounded low. Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. Get up and win that race. With borrowed will, get up, it said. You haven't lost at all. For winning is not more than this, to rise each time you fall. So up he rose to run once more, and with a new commit, he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most he'd ever been, still he gave it all he had and ran as though to win. 3 times he'd fallen, stumbling. 3 times he rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, he still ran to the end. They cheered the winning runner as he crossed first place. Head high and proud and happy, no falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line last place, the crowd gave him the greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last, with head bowed low, unproud, you would have thought he'd won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad he sadly said, I didn't do so well. To me you won, his father said, you rose each time you fell. And now when things seem dark and hard, difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me on in my own race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do is win to win is rise each time you fall. Quit, give up, you're beaten, they still shout in my face. But another voice within me says, get up and win the race. And I'll just close with that. It just is a very inspirational poem to get us to get up and win the race, have victory in our life. It's there for us all.